Well, good morning once again. Happy Palm Sunday. Welcome to Firm Foundation Christian Church. Our scripture text today consists of these six words: He is just and having salvation. And the full text of Zechariah chapter 9 in verse 9 reads this way: Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just in having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. So here is the prophecy of the triumphal entry of Jesus Christ, the King, into Jerusalem. Matthew records the fulfillment of this in the 21st chapter. Now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, The Lord has need of them. And immediately he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell the daughter of Zion, Behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? So the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet, from Nazareth of Galilee. John, the evangelist, also records the fulfillment of Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9, providing details that complement those that we get from Matthew. So let's read John's account also from the 12th chapter of the Gospel of John, beginning in verse 12. The next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. And then Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, sat on it, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written about him and that they had done these things to him. Therefore, the people who were with him when he called Lazarus out of his tomb and raised him from the dead bore witness. For this reason, the people also met him because they heard that he had done this sign. And the Pharisees therefore said among themselves, You see that you are accomplishing nothing. Look, the world has gone after him. The nature of the victorious entry of King Jesus was unlike the ferocious and destructive nature of those human kings. King Nebuchadnezzar, Alexander the Great, and others who had conquered in the past. The full text of Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9 stands in stark contrast to the verses which precede it. And surely, this is by divine design, that we might be caused to ask, what manner of entrance is this that the Messiah has chosen to reveal himself as the King of Israel? The burden of the word of the Lord against the land of Hadrach and Damascus, its resting place, for the eyes of men and all the tribes of Israel are on the Lord. also against Hamath, which borders on it, and against Tyre and Sidon. Though they are very wise, but Tyre built herself a tower, heaped up silver like the dust and gold like the mire of the streets. Behold, the Lord will cast her out. He will destroy her power in the sea, and she will be devoured by fire. Ashkelon shall see it in fear. Gaza also shall be very sorrowful. And Ekron, for he dried up her expectation. The king shall perish from Gaza, and Ashkelon shall not be inhabited. A mixed race shall settle in Ashdod, and I will cut off the pride of the Philistines. I will take away the blood from his mouth and the abominations from between his teeth. But he who remains, even he, shall be for our God and shall be like a leader in Judah, and Ekron like a Jebusite. I will camp around my house because of the army, because of him who passes by and him who returns. The remnant of believers, Jew and Gentile alike, rejoiced in Jesus' first coming, and so they shall rejoice when he returns. And we talked about this on Friday. We did the Maggid, or the narration, the telling of the Passover story. And we talked about how there would be a fifth cup which would be set out for the prophet Elijah, who would come before the great and terrible day of the Lord. And according to tradition, Elijah would return on the Passover, perhaps even during the Seder. And if he did not, those who observed the feast would say, perhaps next year, Elijah shall return. And so that earnest expectation continues for the people of God, even to this day, Jew and Gentile alike. And so we read, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem. The battle bow shall be cut off. He shall speak peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth." Having set the full prophetic context of our text, we shall now turn to the applications of our text. Part of Zechariah, chapter 9 and verse 9, which reads, "He is just and having salvation." And we shall further divide this into two lines of application, exactly the way that the Word of God does. First, he is just. And second, in having salvation. He is just. Jesus the Christ, who is God the Son, is just. It is one of his attributes. He is perfectly just, perfectly holy, and perfectly righteous. All these three attributes, with all the others, work together. Peter applies this title to Jesus in his indictment of unbelieving Israel. And he says this, "The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant, Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go." And here it is in Acts chapter 3 and verse 14. "But you denied the Holy One and the just." Definite article there. "The just. And asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised up from the dead, of which we are witnesses." The Lord is the personification of just. Jesus is just, both in his own character and in the character of his rule. He is the fulfillment of God's covenant with David, among whose last words was this statement. The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spoke to me, he who rules over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. Now, friends, I ask you, what man is just? What kingdom or human institution is just in the same sense that this is applied to Christ and to his kingdom? I tell you, there are none. For sin has precluded this possibility. Even the best of men cannot attain it. Even the most just, relatively speaking, of human governments cannot even come close. For there is not a just man on earth who does good and does not sin. So why would we expect anything different from man's institutions? But Jesus Christ, the just, is separate from sinners. He is always fair, and any injustice that we may perceive is misguided. Though we experience pain and sorrow, trial and tribulation, and many adversities, we must never lay these at the feet of God. For we sin, and others sin. And sin so permeates everything around us that the whole creation groans. The Lord is not a part of that. He stands outside of that, and he has intruded into human affairs by sending his Son. And he has sent him once, and he shall send him again to accomplish the fulfillment of all of these things. And we look forward to that. As our brother said, and I'm in full agreement with this, that it would be a wonderful thing if he came tonight before we had to get up and go to work tomorrow morning. And I won't embarrass him by saying who this is. I thought that was a great way to look at it. So, because you know what that does? That causes me to think of that every Sunday night. I think of the Lord's return. God forgive me if I fail to think of it frequently enough during other times of the week. But it gives me that appointed time. So praise the Lord for that. And you know, the Lord is not a part of all of our human problems. He's not a part of the problem. Rather, he offered up himself as the solution. And this is something that so many folks get tripped up upon. And if you have issue with that, friend, it's time today to come to the Lord admitting that you're a sinner and that you're a part of the problem too. And that you need a Savior, a perfect and just Savior. Amen. And so now, we have come to the second part of our text. And having salvation. Christ came having salvation to give. Those who have received the gracious salvation of God have salvation. But we don't come having salvation. Christ is the only one who comes having salvation to give to all who would receive it and accept him as king. He who has received his testimony has certified that God is true. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God does not give the Spirit by measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe in the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abides on him. And in following this through, whether concerning life or concerning wrath, God proves himself just and true to his word. Many Jews were looking for a Messiah who would deliver them from Roman bondage. Even today, there are many folks who are looking for a political Messiah to deliver them from the temporal overreach of socialistic government. But there is only one panacea for our earthly problems. Only one, and nothing more than the salvation of Jesus Christ. Now, if men then are now did in fact receive only deliverance from physical bondage, such deliverance would only last as long as they do. The salvation that Jesus provides is of the spiritual kind, for his kingdom is not of this world. God looked down and saw the hopeless condition of men, and he had compassion, such compassion that he did something about it, for which I, for one, am forever grateful. He saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his own arm brought salvation for him, and his own righteousness, it sustained him. And by the way, it is that same arm and that same righteousness that sustains you and I this very morning, Christian friend. Jesus Christ came as humble king. He was the Father's emissary, come to offer reconciliation and terms of peace with men. Now, when human kings from another place come to us, they exact things from those whom they conquer. But the Savior comes having salvation, having exacted that which is necessary for the reconciliation and peace from his own Son. The Savior comes having salvation wrought with his own blood. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, not for us only, but also for the whole world. Friend, make way for the King. That song was brought into our songbook because of Palm Sunday, as a matter of fact. This same Jesus, though he was crucified, is risen. He has won the victory. And so please, I beg you, accept his salvation. Know his peace, for you will never have true peace without him. Christian friend, your King, Jesus, has come. And just as he surely came the first time, he shall surely return. I beseech you to be occupied in his service, joyfully, with thanksgiving, and having the spiritual eyes to see the fate of those headed for wrath. Friend, if there are any heading to perdition, pull even them from the fire by speaking his glorious words of salvation. Live in the light of the sun and proclaim his great salvation from sea to sea. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the manner in which you carried out your great plan of salvation for men, even for me. While being yet sinners and enemies of you, Lord, you graciously demonstrated your love by offering your Son, Jesus Christ, as a sacrifice for all sins, past, present, and future. Lord, we make way for you this very morning. May those who came in here, perhaps still with a shed of doubt, be satisfied that you have come, completed your work, and risen again. That you will one day return, and that salvation from sin is theirs, even this very morning. May those of the household of faith be refreshed and energized anew, knowing that the victory has been won. And that the victory is sure and certain. Even today, come, Lord Jesus. But if you tarry, we pray that by your Spirit, you will guide us in our conduct, our behavior, in our worship on the day-to-day. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.